Welcome to Chip Health with Dr. Hans Diehl. On today's broadcast, we'll discover effective ways to be healthy by choice and not by chance. Gaining and maintaining optimum health is possible at any age. That's what thousands are learning at the Complete Health Improvement programs offered across the country and around the world. The results are proven. The benefits, priceless. I'm your Chip Health host, Charles Mills. There is probably no more controversial area of health than the whole concept of supplementation. The manufacturing of vitamins, minerals, and herbs is a $25 billion industry and promises sometimes fly like snowflakes on both packaging and advertising. Do supplements work? Are they worth the sometimes lofty price of admission? I've got Dr. Hans Diehl on the line to talk about megadosing on micronutrients. What's best for our health? Dr. Diehl, I've got to say, we've got products out there claiming to cure everything from acne to cancer. What do we need to know?
Well, I think we have to recognize that the supplement industry is just that. It's a huge industry, which can make all kinds of claims that are very, very difficult to substantiate. So there have been large studies that have revealed controversial findings. Whenever you have controversy, you're opening the door widely for some of the claims to be made over and over again. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is particularly how the vitamin and mineral supplement system works. Sometimes there's a study that might turn out to be in their favor, and they make sure that every radio station, every news release will feature their particular breakthrough. And yet, when it comes to health, most of the health claims are being substantiated carefully with repeat results, with larger studies, so that we have a kind of a consistency that we usually miss when it comes to the claims that are being made for the efficacy of vitamins and minerals. Mm-hmm,
Do you see that improving? Are we seeing more examination, more transparency in the industry now that we realize that there is not as much control as there should be?
I think that's probably true. There was a great movement in the 1970s and 80s in terms of seeing health being oftentimes positively affected by having the proper micronutrients, having the proper vitamins and the minerals. There was some hope there, and there were studies out there that showed that if you take vitamin E, if you take vitamin C, you know, your health will improve. Since then, the National Institutes of Health has really invested quite a bit of research money to do large studies. And when I was at Bethesda in Maryland to go to one of these major conferences where they detailed the findings of some of these large studies, I was actually personally surprised to see that many of the original claims that were made in the 1970s and 80s were basically overturned by much, much larger and more sophisticated studies, which basically said, if you want to get the proper nutrients, be sure you get them in real food. That's where the answer is going to be found, not by extracting some kind of a mineral or extracting a vitamin, and then you say, here is the answer, and don't worry about anything anymore, just make sure you have that nutrient, and you're going to be fine. That's too simplistic.
Well, I remember those days because when I caught a cold, I wanted to hurry down to the store and get myself a big bottle of vitamin C, of course, and that seemed to be what everyone was taking at that time. But what was the issue then? What is wrong with megadosing on micronutrients, vitamin C, when you have a cold?
Well, when it comes to megadosing on micronutrients, we don't know really very well what the upper limits are. You can overdose on these things possibly. You know, oftentimes, you know, it's true that we need to have fairly large doses before we really get into trouble. But nevertheless, you know, there can be some toxic levels. For instance, when you take vitamin A, Well, you know, you take about 20, 25 times the amount that the recommended daily allowance would say. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you do this, you can actually develop some throbbing headaches. You can get dry skin with cracked lips. You can have some joint pain, and you might even lose some of your hair. So, I mean, mm-hmm. that's vitamin A. But again, as I said, it takes about 20 to 25 times the recommended dose. But then you take some other vitamins, like vitamin D and E and K, and these are sometimes called, you know, along with the vitamin A, the fat-soluble vitamins. What that means is that these vitamins, when you take them, you know, in excess, they're not flushed out with the urine as the water-soluble vitamins are, but they're being stored in the liver. And so when you take fat-soluble vitamins, there can actually be a buildup in the liver, and it might not be in your best interest. And that's why I think we're a little bit concerned. These fat-soluble vitamins should not be used more than 3 to 5 times what the RDA, the recommended daily allowance, suggests.
It sounds like you're sort of saying that these vitamins and minerals that you take in a bottle are sort of like fruit juice. You have a concentrated dose. If you take oranges and you squeeze them and you make fruit juice, you're going to have a highly concentrated state of vitamin C, and you're also going to have a highly concentrated state of sugars in this, because you're basically eating the juice of a lot of oranges. But if you eat the orange itself, you're getting a nice solid dose of vitamin C, but without overdosing, because you're only eating one orange.
That is certainly true, but there's something else that we need to really focus on. When you have that orange, you're not just getting the vitamin C that is there, mm-hmm. but you get many, many different what we call bio cofactors that surround that vitamin C. And it seems that when you take vitamins in their natural food context, they're actually biologically activated. They're boosted by the surrounding cofactors. And once these special boosters are removed by extracting the vitamin or making them in the laboratory, their potency then, it seems, can be affected in a very major way. So in other words, we had a very simplistic idea. You take an orange and you extract the vitamin C, or you make the vitamin C in the laboratory, and the body doesn't know the difference whether it's made in the laboratory or extracted from the orange, then that's all you need to do. Don't worry about the orange. Just take the vitamin C. You have a cold. That's all you need. No. We begin to understand now there are probably 200, 300, 400 different phytochemicals, micronutrients in the orange that seem to surround that vitamin C in such a manner that it boosts it, that it makes it more biologically active, that it has a different potency. And that's the difference, I think, between getting your key vitamins and minerals in the form of a chemical prepared in the laboratory versus getting it in real food.
Doesn't your friend T. Colin Campbell call that scientific reductionism?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's exactly right.
But on the other side of that coin, Dr. Deal, haven't we seen improvements in health across the board because we are putting vitamins and minerals in some of our foods, like cereals and in our milk? Isn't there some improvement in our health because we're doing that?
Well, there are some areas like folic acid or folate. Sometimes you can also look at B12, which sometimes can be obviously in short supply when it comes to people that are strict vegetarians. So there is a place for some selected supplementation. But I think the best way to get our micronutrients, our best way to get our vitamins and minerals, is in the form in which they come in nature. They had this huge study. Here's something very interesting. They found that if you had vitamin A in smokers that were fairly high levels, the smokers would have much less to worry about lung cancer. So the tobacco industry was very interested in that. Obviously, you know, if you can augment the life of a person with vitamin A and they're smokers and you have less lung cancer, maybe we can put some vitamin A into the cigarettes and then you have, you know, you could sort of neutralize some of the consequences of smoking.
Vitamin A enhanced lucky strikes. There we go.
There you
go. Oh, my goodness.
So this study was done. It was done in Finland.
Yeah.
And what they found is that the people that were receiving the vitamin A, that's among smokers now, they had more lung cancer in short order. And so they curtailed the study, they terminated the study, and said, there's something really different here in outcome than what we had anticipated. Because before, we found that people that were taking higher levels of vitamin A or had more vitamin A in their system, they were somewhat protected. But now, when we give it to them artificially, synthetically, it was just the opposite. And that began to help us to perhaps think this thing through in a different manner. Maybe there are cofactors, maybe there are boosters within the food that contains the vitamin and the mineral that is giving it a special potency that you don't have when you extract it and order to make in the laboratory.
Now, Dr. Deal, is there any type of supplementation that we should take? We hear what you're saying, and it makes awful a lot of sense. It just really does. But that said, are there supplements that we should be taking in spite of the fact that it's best to get it from whole foods? Because we're not. We're not getting it. We're not eating the whole foods.
Yeah, well, you're opening up a Pandora's box right now. Let me just say this. There are certain nutrients that perhaps are best to be augmented and supplemented. And, you know, we have done this with folic acid to avert some neurological damage. We have also done this with vitamin B12 that is in short supply, oftentimes not there when it comes to having strict vegetarians. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are some places for it. But in general, this whole idea that the soil is depleted of nutrients and therefore we need to augment, we need to supplement, I am not so sure that that's a very good argument, particularly when you think about this. Nowadays, the food comes from different parts of the world. You know, we get our grapefruits from perhaps Israel, and we get our grapes from Chile, and we get our oranges from Florida. It's no longer just coming off on one patch, let's say, in the United States, where there might be a soil nutrient deficiency. It's coming from all over the world. And the idea that the whole world somehow is nutritionally deficient in the soil, it's an argument that is being stretched beyond credibility.
Okay. Well, you're
in my thinking.
I don't want you to make the buy local group kind of mad at you here. So what we're saying is that when we are eating a variety of foods from a variety of places, we can be pretty sure that we're getting good nutrients in that food. Am I right?
That seems to be very reasonable.
All right, okay. Well, we'll take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to ask you about vitamin D. I know this is a controversial subject, and I want to talk to you about that on our return. So everybody stay right where you are. Consider yourself competitive or argumentative? Be careful. You may be at greater risk for heart disease. In a recent study, couples rated their spouses on an antagonism scale. Those who were more inclined to be suspicious of others, competitive, or argumentative showed increased levels of calcium in their arteries, a marker of plaque buildup. This sets in motion the possibility of a heart attack or stroke. So chill out. Your heart and your spouse well, thank you.
Concerned about those extra pounds, high blood pressure, diabetes, cholesterol, depression, and heart disease? I'm Dr. Hans Dior, inviting you to join the people in the know and enroll in the next CHIP program in your area. It can make all the difference.
For more information about the Complete Health Improvement Program and to transform CHIP's proven results into priceless benefits for you and your family, visit chiphealth.org. Most of China's surface water is polluted, totally undrinkable. But ADRA is sponsoring a special water purification system called phytoremediation. It can clean water and make it drinkable again. Bamboo serves as the primary scrubbing agent, thus creating a marketable byproduct to generate income for cash-strapped farmers. For less than you think, you can enable one poor family to have access to pure, clean water. This is just one of many opportunities offered to you in this year's edition of the Adventist Development and Relief Agency International's The Original Really Useful Gift Catalog. To find out more, visit www.adra.org. That's www.adra.org. Or call 1-800-424-ADRA. That's 1-800-424-2372. This is your chance to select the perfect gift for that special someone who has nothing. Thank you. Welcome back to the program. I'm Charles Mills. We're here with Dr. Hans Diehl. We're talking about megadosing on micronutrients today, vitamins, minerals, and herbs. Do we need to supplement? And Dr. Diehl has made a very good case on the first part of the program that says, well, if you eat the food and you include all the food that comes with the food, all the nutrients that are packed with the vitamin C in the orange, etc., that these boost the ability of that C to work in your body. So we need to have our vitamins and minerals and herbs coming from whole foods. But Dr. Diehl, let's talk about vitamin D. There's whole books written on the subject of we need to take vitamin D during the winter time because we're not getting enough sunlight from the sun. The vitamin D is not being manufactured in the skin. What's your take on this?
There are thousands and thousands of studies that have been on vitamin D. It's the fair-haired boy right now.
Yes.
I mean, everybody thinks that this is the super vitamin, and if we just had more vitamin D, then everything would be fine. And there is probably some good, credible evidence that perhaps people are short on vitamin D, mm-hmm. particularly since we don't get outdoors anymore. Mm-hmm. Some people make the case, well, if you live up in Alaska, you don't get enough sunlight to have the vitamin D being produced in the skin. Mm-hmm. Good point. You know, these are certainly areas where we need to really do something about supplementation. But by and large, if we could just get 15 minutes outdoors, especially around the noon hours, between 10, 11 o'clock, so 3 o'clock in the afternoon, if we could just get 15 minutes out into the sunlight and get our face or our arms exposed to the sun, we would get more vitamin D than you would ever need.
Even in Boston? In the wintertime?
Well, that's why I suggest that maybe in those areas there's a place for vitamin D supplementation.
But if you do go out in Boston in the wintertime in January and you have that sunlight exposure, is that the secret? Does that sunlight exposure, even at that northern latitude, make vitamin D possible in your skin?
Well, again, there are all kinds of pretty sophisticated and detailed suggestions being made. It depends on the angle of the sun. It depends on the day, the time of the day, and so on. I think we're probably making more of it than we've ever done because I don't think that we had a huge vitamin D deficiency diseases 50 or 100 years ago when we had, or 20 years ago when we had no concept of all these sophistications that is now coming to bear on this one. I think in general, when you have an area where there's little sunlight, like we talked about Alaska or perhaps in Boston there in the wintertime, there's a place for vitamin D supplementation. But in general, I think it would be wise for all of us, as we are able to get sunlight, we need to soak it up, and we should get at least 15 minutes a day. So go outdoors, and you get a zinger of vitamin D, huge amounts, in just 15 minutes.
And I've always figured that our bodies are pretty smart enough that during the summertime, they can store up vitamin D to release when the wintertime comes along. Am I on the right track here with that?
Probably true. I'm not absolutely sure what the storability is, so I want to leave that in suspense.
Okay, all right. Well, we need to do some more research on that, and I want you listeners to know that as soon as we know anything more about that, we will pass it on to you, as we always do. We're talking with Dr. Hans Diehl here, founder, director of the Complete Health Improvement Program. He's on the line, and we're discussing supplementation. We've talked about vitamins and minerals. Now let's move to herbs. This is huge. Herbs, oh my. There is a plant part for everything that is wrong with you ever in your whole life. Now, Dr. Diehl, when it comes to herbs, what are your feelings on those rows and rows of bottles we see in the health food store?
Well, the idea is that many people have this concept that if it's natural, then it's safe.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're not so sure about this. You know, herbs are not subject to, like drugs, to the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration evaluations. And so we are not really very comfortable with the use of herbs. We think of them as being kind of low potency. We think of them as being natural. We think of them as fitting into the natural drug supply. Here's what worries me a little bit. While most of these herbs are probably innocuous and they can be very, very helpful, I think that we really don't know the exact strength of the ingredient of a particular herb. For instance, you take foxglove, a digitalis. That's a powerful drug that is being used for a weak heart. The digitalis in foxglove is the important thing. Now, if you say, well, I don't really want to take this digitalis as it comes in the drug preparation, I'm just going to take the foxglove itself. Mm-hmm. I have a preparation that, wait a minute, this foxglove may grow in different areas, obviously, and we don't know what the soil effect is on the strength of some of this digitalis in the foxglove. There can be also plant variation. Sometimes there could be possible fraud. The herb can be prepared in different ways in different laboratories where it's being extracted. Sometimes it might also be the part of the plant that is being used to be extracted from. So you can see there are many, many variables where we have no control over. When you buy a drug that has gone through the FDA, you're sure this drug contains so many milligrams of digitalis. Mm-hmm. Here it is. When you buy the foxglove, the herbal preparation, you really don't know. And so you begin to see it's you're opening up a Pandora's box here, where you begin to not quite have the assurance that what you get is what is being promised to you.
Well, you know what, Dr. Deal? I'm writing a book right now with Dr. James Markham about the dangers of modern drugs. And you know what? The FDA misses some other things, too, even when they're supposed to be careful. The drug Coumadin, which is a blood thinner. Dr. Markham has said that many times when they prescribe Coumadin, they discover that in the same bottle, there can be various dosages in the same pills. They're really not sure. So even in the highly regulated drug industry, there is variances in the amount of dosage. And that's pretty scary, Dr. Deal.
Yeah, because we want to have some assurance, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
And we thought we have it there.
Okay, so what I'm hearing you saying then is that we need to be very careful with herbs because they may have been improperly prepared. The plants may be different in different regions. Also, there may be fraud involved. The preparation, the manufacturing can vary. So if we have a cold and this herb is supposed to be good for our cold, and if we have a sore muscle and this herb is supposed to be good for our sore muscle, or if we have something wrong inside with our liver and we need to detox it and we want to put some herbs in there, what do we have instead of those herbs to help us in those areas?
Usually the body begins to heal itself if you give the body some rest, you give it some time. Most of the time, the body has self-healing ability. And while some of these herbal preparations can help here and there, you know, most of the time, if you give the body some rest, if you do maybe some hydrotherapy, you drink plenty of water, you apply water, hot and cold, and some of these kind of things from the outside, and you begin to really eat whole foods, foods as they come. I think most of the time the body will have a good chance to rebalance itself. And, you know, just think about this. We think of getting our vitamin C in the form of a tablet. And so we take these large dosages. On the other hand, the body is prepared to take in the vitamin C in a more natural form. For instance, if you would just, you know, next time you take a look at some broccoli, right?
Mm-hmm.
Broccoli is sort of an unlikely hero when it comes to vitamin C, and we don't think of broccoli. And yet one cup of this leafy green vegetables, when it's cooked, has 165% of the recommended daily allowance for vitamin C. You take a potato next time, just a 6-ounce potato, that's a medium-sized potato, it has 40% of the recommended daily allowance of vitamin C. So food usually provides what we need to take. and it does it in a more balanced fashion. It doesn't spike up these particular vitamins or minerals. Because whenever you take a large slug of a particular vitamin or mineral, it can interfere in the metabolism of other ingredients in the body. So I think a more balanced, systematic approach of rebuilding the body is probably safer than looking for these instant miracles, overnight. Mm-hmm. It's the drug thing that we have in our mind when we want to have quick fixes, quick answers, and maybe we should give the body a little bit more time to begin to balance itself out.
And we also, and you have said this many times in the program, we must not stand in the way of the body as it tries to do that. And sometimes the drugs we take, sometimes the herbs and supplements we take tend to actually hinder the body in its attempt to heal itself. Am I on the right track?
Yeah, I think we need to really go back what we have always said, and that is we need to focus our attention away from the need for the quick fixes and begin to look more for a balancing of our lifestyle, the balancing of our food, and the best place to get our vitamins and minerals is from fresh, whole foods. That's what we need to do. And whenever you have too many of these fat-soluble vitamins, they can be stored in the liver, and we don't know what the toxic levels sometimes are. Whenever you have water-soluble vitamins, like the vitamin B group and the vitamin C, it's usually excreted by the body by way of the urine. If the body doesn't need it, it just flushes it out. And there's probably no urine that is richer in vitamins than the American urine, because we got this idea, if a little bit is good, more would be better. It doesn't really seem to work.
All right. Very good. Well, this is important for us to know. There is hope for those of us who aren't feeling good, and it doesn't come in a bottle. I think that the bottom line message here is don't look for health in a bottle or in a pill or in a shot. Look for health instead at the grocery store. It is about the food. It is all about the food. And you throw in some good exercise program in there, and you toss in a loving relationship with a family and with a God that made us, and you have yourself a formula for good health. Am I right, Dr. Deal?
But that's what we don't want. We want quick fixes. Yeah. We want it overnight, and that's a dangerous thing. And then when somebody makes these sensational claims, here's the new miracle drug, the new miracle herb, the new miracle nutrient, we fall for it because that's what we have been trained to focus on. But it's usually a more systematic lifestyle that is giving us good health.
And that systematic lifestyle is being taught to thousands and thousands of people on a regular basis on the Complete Health Improvement Program, which is being offered around the world. If you would like to learn more about that program and also find other resources for helping you live a happy, healthy, and vibrant life, I invite your listener to stop by www.chiphealth.org. That's www.chiphealth, name of the program, chiphealth.org. Dr. Deal, thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate you always.
Thank you so much.
And until next time, listener, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Hans Deal, inviting you to begin enjoying health by choice, not by chance. Goodbye, everyone. We'll